Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Cynthia, for doing such a good job with those songs. I was happy to choose them. They did something for my heart. Thank you for having me today, Pastor. Thank you all for tuning in. As the pastor said today, the message is, what kind of church do you want to be? Now, to me, or to most, that's kind of complicated. Number one, it's kind of egotistical. It's like, what kind of church do I want? But first, gotta ask, what kind of church does God require us to be? I'm gonna take today, try to break it down like a fraction for you, compartmentalize, if I can say that word, so we can understand exactly what God wants from us in a church. But let me first start with, we do serve a trilineal God. Amen? Everybody agree on that? We have the Father, we have the Son, and we have the Holy Spirit. Well, the church is kind of broken down in the same way. Let me explain. We have us as individual Christians. We are the temple. We say this. We are the church. I am the church. My body is a temple. My body belongs to God. I'm the church. And then secondly, we have our individual congregations. Some of you, you don't come to Belmont Heights United Methodist Church, but our congregation together combined. We are a church. And thirdly, pretty much have the rest of the planet. We don't kind of see things that way, but you have Pentecostals and Lutherans and Catholics and all the other different Christian Bible-believing entities. Well, collectively, we are the church. Make sense? I hope so. So, as we ask, well, what does God require of the church? What does he want from us? And I've asked a couple people, and one of the things that I got, or a couple of times I got, God is mysterious. We don't know what he wants. He works in mysterious ways. Well, no, he's not. He's not mysterious whatsoever. It's us that keeps messing up things. For instance, he gave us the Ten Commandments, right? I am the Lord thy God. You shall not. What does he say? What's the first commandment? You shall not have any gods before me. Second one, you shall not carve up any idols and bow down to them. That's basically, if you do that, go back to see number one. Number three, you shall not take the Lord's name in vain. Number four, I think, keep the Sabbath holy. Number five, honor thy mother and thy father so you can have long-lasting life on this earth. Then they got straight to the point with do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal. You cannot bear false witness against your neighbor. And while you're not bearing false witness, you shouldn't steal his car, covet his wife, steal his donkey, his ox, his cell phone, his car. You shouldn't do those things. So he gave us a whole list. Could we follow it? Pretty much not. So then he gave us a Bible. Oh, blueprint. Everything that we ever really needed to know, it's right here. There is no new sin. We've put a twist on it, but it's pretty much right here. Nothing is new. Nothing that we do is a surprise. But, like I said, I'm going to try to break it down like a fraction for you and tell you what God wants us to be. And then I'm going to explain exactly how we can get there and be what God wants us to be. So, there were many, but I picked a few. Number one, God wants us be a spiritually minded church. We want you to have the Holy Spirit. Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, 17 and 18. Therefore, come up from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. We want you to separate yourself from the rest of the noise and the stuff that's going on out there. He wants you to have a spirit for him. He wants you to desire to serve him. Number two, God wants us to be an evangelistic church. wants us to spread the good news. That's kind of what our MO is, right? We're going to spread the good news. Go from house to house. Go from person to person. Be a good witness. Spread the good news. Number three, God wants us to be, what's the word? Doctrinally pure. He wants you to be in the Word. He wants you to desire to read that Word. And, of course, share that Word with others. 2 John 9 through 11. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ Jesus does not have God. So you have to be indoctrinated. You have to follow the Bible. Number four, God wants us, this is important, I'm sorry I'm laughing because this is it's so applicable to a lot of churches. God wants us to be a church that's at peace with itself. 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace in all churches of the saints. We have to be in peace. He tells us this in the Bible. Okay, so if we just take those four little things, there are more. Just those four little things. If we can achieve that, then we can individually. As an individual, I am the church. Like I said, as a congregation, we are the church. And then we have the world. We are the church. But what we need to do, or should I say consequently or subsequently, we have to cross-pollinate. Because we are the church, but we need to have our congregation. So a lot of times I use the word cross-pollinate. My wife said, what is that? Well, that's when you're working together. So you have to work together to make sure that you're better as an individual. But number one, as an individual, me being the part of the body of church, you have to be in prayer. That's first and foremost. Our prayer time is our personal time with God. This is the time that we got to block out all the distractions of the world and concentrate our attention strictly on God, our Creator. By connecting with God in this way every day, we put ourselves in a better place in our minds so that we can face our day-to-day lives and we can face all the things that are going on out there in the world. One of the things I tell my pastor and my wife all the time, you know what, I pray, then I get to church, because that rejuvenates my battery to be able to go out there and deal with the things that are in the world, okay? Praying, this is something that we should look forward to every single day. After all, the Holy Spirit equips us and protects us to go out into the world and live by faith. Prayer, probably the first and most important thing, okay? Next, and this is pretty important, witnessing. Getting out into the world, talking to people, but in witnessing, we have to be mindful that our words and what we do are just powerful things. As Christians, people are always waiting to say, I told you. See how those Christian folks are? They're waiting to be able to say that. And that's most of the time because they're miserable and misery loves company. We've probably all heard that. But in all things that we do, understand that our behavior is our most powerful witness to others. All of our best words and our impressive pronouncements will become meaningless if we're not good witnesses, if we're not walking the walk. You know, we can't be like everybody else. Our light should shine bright. Let the kids sing that. Light shine bright. We be set apart in our actions and what we do. Again, whether we like it or not, the world holds us to a higher standard as believers. Number three, reading our Bible, getting into the Word. In order to consider ourselves believers, we have to absolutely be clear on what we actually believe in. Do this through prayer, of course, and we can go in fellowship and we can attend church and, you know, participate in all types of faith-based concerts, and there are a lot of things that we can do, but you have to read Bible. Bible says, study to show yourself approved. You have to know what you're talking about. If you're going to witness to somebody and try to bring the gospel, which we all agree is the good news, if you want to try to bring that good news to somebody, you have to know what you're talking about. And again, I'm going to ask you, keep putting this in your head. What kind of church do you want to be? You want to be a praying church? Witnessing church? You want to be someone that gets in that word so that you can be a good witness? Number four, being thankful. And right now, that's kind of tough. With all the things that we got going on in the world, it's easy to get sucked into those things. You know, basically, we have a pandemic that's wrapped in riots, some protesting sprinkled in there. We have a lot of things going on in the world. And with those things going on in the world, we should be the leaders. We should be the ones that people are able to come to. Now, if you have a thankful spirit, if you have thankfulness in you, all right, it's helpful. It's all too easy to sink into self-pity and drift away. I mean, all you have to do is watch TV, or of course, just watch the news today, and you'll see that there's plenty happening out there in the world that absolutely spews regret and bitterness and disappointment. It's very important that we understand that as Christians, we are called out to be different. Rather than immersing ourselves in all those negative things that are going on around us, it's far more important that we practice being thankful for the things that we do have, being thankful that we are healthy, being thankful that our families are safe. Okay? Don't underestimate the importance of this step. A thankful heart is a changed heart. It forces us to focus your attention on the good things that God has given us. Everybody agree? Again, ask yourself, what kind of church do I want to be? This one's a tough one. The next one is reflecting on your own nature, or reflecting on your own sinfulness. Sinfulness, is that a word? Pastor, I have to ask you about that. Reflecting on our own sinfulness, in order to worship a holy God, even to consider the whole concept, we first have to realize our own inherent sinfulness. You know, we all fall short of the glory of God. Not one of us is worthy. What does this mean? It means that we have to own up to what we've done wrong in the past. And, you know, what right now. It's only when we realize the true depth of the sinfulness that we truly appreciate our God as our Savior. And when you're doing this, don't merely concentrate on specific past sins and dwell on them, because that could actually be depressing. Rather, focus on the overall state of your heart. What kind of heart do you have? You have a heart for God. You have a heart for giving. You have a heart for being thankful. You have a heart for people to help them. Again, what kind of church do you want to be? Next one is you have to be forgiving. Forgiving is a good thing. Forgiving can be a hard thing. People do things to you and you say, how dare you? You did me wrong and stuff like that. But we have to be forgiving. In Matthew 6:14, Jesus tells us, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now we know that truly Jesus is our Savior. And we absolutely need to be serious about the whole forgiveness part. Again, don't forget, it's really unhealthy, and that might be a therapy thing that Jen will talk to someone about. But unforgiveness is not healthy. And I guess on a personal note, if you're holding animosity for someone and you bring it to God and bring it to that person, who does it really affect? Because if you're mad at that person, they're out at the, they're dancing, they're having a good time, and you're walking around with the mush face. Not healthy. Forgive people. Okay? Anyway, forgiveness isn't something that comes easily. Like practicing football or basketball or anything. You have to practice so that you can perfect that quality. It's not going to just come naturally. Everybody believe that? Amen? Anyway, once you get into the habit of forgiving people, it'll become like second nature because you practiced it. Okay? And then, of course, good habits develop and overall, it's just healthier, but it's also what God asks of us. Let me give you a quick thing, though. This is Iowa stuff. This is kind of funny. Back many, many, many moons ago, yeah, that's happening. Many moons ago, I wasn't a good guy. I wasn't walking with the Lord and everything else. And I would run to Christian folks who would be upset with me. And, of course, they would call me out on that. And I would, you know, look at them all funny, and then I would say, you call yourself a Christian? Oh, of course. Of course I'm a Christian. Really? You're a Christian? Of course I am. Well, then why don't you just forgive me? And that kind of stunned them a little bit, but that is the M.O. But in any case, what in a church do you want to be? Last but not least, and this is very, very important, you have to have a readiness to help wherever needed. Being of service, very important. And I don't mean write the check. I don't mean doing a hands-off thing. Being of service, you got to be willing to get in there, get your hands dirty a little bit. Be of, now make no mistake, you can be of service many kind of ways. God requires us to be in service to fellow men. God requires us to do this in love. Because if you are certain, you are trying to be of service, and you do it begrudgingly, and you've got a scowl on your face, God rather you just didn't even waste your time doing it. If you're going to give somebody something, if you're going to help them in a way, in a loving way, in a giving way, in a way really, really mean it. Because if you're holding on to it, if you're going to wait till later and remind them that you did that, you're in the wrong place. But anyway, while everybody is busy, they're wrapped up in their own lives and problems, there are people out there that definitely have needs all around us. While it's impractical for us to spend every single day helping others with all their problems, we can easily choose one or two people a day. I'm going to help two people today. I'm going to shine my light bright for two people today. And it doesn't necessarily mean you have to go and buy everybody groceries or you have to go and cook a meal for everybody. You know what? This can just be a kind word or a kind gesture. Telling them that everything's going to be okay today. Especially just reaching out to people in general. Maybe call somebody up and sing them a song. And I'm going to be calling you up and giving you a song. Amen. It's what kind of church do you want to be? Do you want to be giving? Do you want to be loving? Do you want to be a good witness? And I hope that the answer is, you know what, I want to be all of those things. all of those things, because at the end of the day, that's what he's requiring of you, to be loving and giving and to be on the side of right. A lot of things are going on today with all kinds of Black Lives Matter and the protesting, and people want to have their say, and I know I'm right, and well, I've got no reason to apologize for Black people. Well, they did this and they did that, and everyone's calling me up and they want to tell me what their truth is. And they're surprised when I say, you know what, I don't know the exact truth. And it's not my mission to know the exact truth, but to live in truth. For us to live in truth and have a loving heart. Hopefully this message and what we're conveying will help you love it. Be the kind of church that God wants you to be. Same time, be the kind of church you want to be, because those should be the same. I want to be the church that God wants me to be. Amen.
Amen. Pastor? Amen. Amen. Thank you, John. Thank you. What kind of church do we want to be? We are called as disciples of Christ in this day and age to go out, spread the good news of Christ with all we meet.